Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right to our phone lines. First up is Matt listening in Missouri. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. My question is, what would be a good recommendation for a returning Christian who knows a bit about the Bible but wants to just start reading the Bible every day? Would it be recommended by you to start just at the New Testament, starting with Matthew and going forward from there?
Well, I think it's a good idea. Absolutely. But I would also add a chapter of Proverbs a day, and I'd work your way through the Psalms as well. And then you'll have sort of a full-orbed experience.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is because, I figured starting with the New Testament, because we are living in the New Testament age of Christ, and, you know, we're more bound by New Testament rules than we are Old Testament. And, again, I've listened to your show. I know that we do still have to abide by the Old Testament rules, but, you know, the New Testament is more applicable to what we are in now. That's why I figured I'd start there. So,
well, a couple of things, though, about that, Matt, before we conclude the conversation. I think it's really important that we don't neglect the Old Testament. It's not a matter of rules. What it is a matter of is that you cannot fully understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament, because the New Testament writers oftentimes are quoting directly from the Old Testament writers. And oftentimes they do so in truncated fashion. In other words, they're just quoting a portion. And they're assuming that you know the whole. And if you just get that snippet and don't have the context that is provided by the Old Testament, you can get a skewed view of what's being communicated. So I think it's really important to follow what's called the analogy of faith. You have to interpret the cloudy in light of the clear. In addition to that, though, the sum of the Bible is very important to comprehend. You can't understand the Bible as a whole without understanding its individual parts, nor its individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole. So while there's a good place to dip your toe back in, and I would agree that the Gospels are wonderful in that regard, I wouldn't neglect the whole counsel of God. So, you know, I actually have a legacy reading plan that gets you a wonderful way of going through the Word of God in such a way that all of it makes sense. And that legacy reading plan you can access on the web at equip.org.
Yeah, I'd love to check that out, simply because I've always had a huge problem with faith, and that's why I broke away from my Christianity a long time ago, and due to recent events, I had to come back to it, but that would be great. I'll have to check that out.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you very much, sir.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David Winston, Salem, North Carolina. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
There's a lot of extra-biblical evidence or evidence outside of the Bible for Christ, you know, having existed and that sort of thing, like Josephus and Tacitus and so forth, talking about him in their writings. But recently a lady gave me a book called the Arch Co. Volume. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Is that a reliable extra-biblical resource in terms of that, or is that pretty much just fiction?
Well, it's fraudulent. That's the F word I would use for it. It's a fraudulent document that purports to contain the account of Jesus' last days on earth from the perspective of the shepherds or Pilate or Herod or Antipas or Caiaphas and the like, contemporaries. But there are a lot of problems with it. Historical mistakes, clear evidences of plagiarism, translation mistakes, and the list goes on. So certainly not anything that you would want to put any weight or stock in.
Okay. Very good. Now, I have one small little question. Can you be a Christian and be afraid of death?
Well, I think that one of the things that you recognize as a Christian is that death no longer has the sting. The sting has been taken out of death as a direct result of resurrection. But we're all at different levels of maturity in the faith. And so I don't think it is inconsistent with a Christian conviction to sometimes falter in your faith. I think that you see that not only in the biblical writers themselves, but you see that in the early church fathers, and you see that in contemporary Christians as well. But that's the whole thing. I mean, we have to grow in our relationship with the Lord, and as we grow, we become more and more firmed up and supported in the conviction that we will, like our Savior, rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So think about what we read in Scripture, for example, in Hebrews chapter 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, speaking of Jesus Christ, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by this fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And of course, we are Abraham's descendants because we are in Jesus Christ. And of course, Galatians 3 makes clear that those who are in Christ are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise.
I'm grappling with that, and I'm starting to, I think, make some progress in that area. I guess, you know, what has always bothered me about that is separation from family and loved ones. I think that's the main thing.
Well, yeah, and that's a legitimate concern. I mean, I think about that myself. What would happen if I die? I have a lot of children. I have a lot of responsibilities. But yet, on the other hand, I recognize that God holds every moment, every breath, not only in his hand, but in his providential care. And so, ultimately, the more we build our relationship with the Lord, the less the sting of death has any sway over us.
Well, that's very helpful to me, Hank. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Olivia, listening in Milford, Nebraska. Hi, Olivia.
Hi. I'm so glad to be on your show tonight. I have a question. We are going through a Beth Moore Bible study of Daniel. Of course, we're to the prophecy part, Daniel 7, and I do not see eye to eye with her end times theory, and I just want to know how I can present this to our group tonight in gentleness, and I want to know if there's any commentaries out there or Bible studies that we can use to not have this viewpoint of end times.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said, gentleness and respect. This is a secondary issue we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over, but it does speak to how you read literature in general, how you read the book of Daniel in this particular case. And I think that's really important. So you want to read all of Daniel and see, what is Daniel actually aiming at? I mean, what is the central thing that Daniel is grieved about, is shaken about, is kept up at night about? Well, it's about what's going to happen 400 years hence, from his perspective, when Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the abomination of desolation, will desecrate the temple. And it is only through God's promise that ultimately Daniel has solace for the future, because he knows that not only is there going to be great tribulation, but there's going to be salvation, and that salvation ultimately is going to point forward to the babe of Bethlehem. So you got to kind of understand what he's pointing towards and what the end game is, and you follow that sequentially as you read through the book of Daniel. One of the resources that might be helpful in this regard is my book, Has God Spoken? where I not only deal with the succession of nations prophesied by Daniel, but also things like the abomination of desolation, so that you get a real good grasp of what that really entails, not only from the Old Testament perspective of Daniel, but Jesus looking back at Daniel, you know, where he says in the Olivet Discourse, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. So has God spoken really shed some significant light on the book of Daniel? Also, the Christian Research Journal, I did an article titled, Did Daniel Accurately Predict a Succession of Nations? It kind of gives you a heads up on what's going on in terms of the sequential fulfilling of Daniel's prophecies as you read from the very beginning through the end of the book.
Okay, all right. And what do you think of Beth Moore?
Well, I think she's an evangelical Christian, and I appreciate the fact that she's teaching women. And again, you know, the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium are issues that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. I disagree with her on many, many issues, though, from spiritual warfare on. But again, that does not undermine her ministry. That simply says that on secondary issues, I have some rather sharp disagreements with her.
Okay, so do I. So thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, and we'll be back with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Steve in Missouri. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I've listened to your program for a long time. I've been a long-time listener and really love it.
Thank you.
And my question is, really, I've been a long-time student of Bible mysteries since I was a kid. I'm 44 years old now, and I've just kind of been obsessed with Revelations 13. And not too long ago, I think I've come across the answer to the last verse where it says, let him who hath understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the mark of mankind, 666, 600, 666. It occurred to me that carbon, which is 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons, is the mark of mankind. And, you know, if you look at Isaiah where he says you need to know the end from the beginning, if you go back to the beginning in Genesis, the fruit of knowledge that we weren't supposed to lay our hands on is the mark of all of our technology. And of course, carbon is the mark of all of our technology. And then if you go to right before that verse in Revelations 13, you have a commerce system that's based on that mark. And of course, we have the petrol bar system and the Federal Reserve and central banks who use that for every nation to buy carbon. I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that that premise is distinctly unrealistic, and it is, in fact, dead wrong. John, the author of Revelation, told a first-century audience that with wisdom and insight, they would be able to calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. And obviously, no amount of wisdom and insight would have enabled a first-century audience to calculate the number of a 21st-century beast. And I have said this many times, but I would like to underscore it in red. It would have been cruel. It would have been dangerously misleading for John to suggest to first-century Christians that they could identify the beast if, in fact, the beast was a 21st-century individual or institution. 21st century believers, like first century counterparts, however, can be absolutely certain that that number, 666, is the number of Nero's name, and that Nero is the beast who ravaged the bride of Christ in a historical milieu that included 3.5 years of persecution, and in the end included Peter and Paul themselves, not only being persecuted, but being put to death at the hands of the beast. This was the only epoch in human history in which the beast could directly assail the foundation of the Christian church, of which Christ himself was the cornerstone. Now, I write about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. I also have an entry on this in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. The thing that I'd like to underscore is that this goes to the heart of learning to read the Bible for all its worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. John is identifying the beast as number 6 of 7 kings and identifies the number of his name. And again, he is identifying a first century beast because he's writing to 7 churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So to take what John is doing in the first century and apply it to a 21st century context simply is distorting his writings. Now, all of Scripture is useful for instruction. All of it applies to us in the sense that though it was not written to us, it was written for us. Again, I've written about this in various places, including The Apocalypse Code. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Annie. She's listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Hank. My question is about Genesis 6. I've really I've done a lot of research on what is a Nephilim and what is sons of God, and nothing makes any sense to me, and I don't really trust any of the resources that are out there. Could you clue me in?
Yeah, well, the notion that some people have in this regard, that the sons of God are fallen angels and that they're having sex with women, as a result you have the Nephilim, I think is misguided. Remember, Genesis 6 in context is a judgment on fallen humanity. That's not a judgment on some kind of a hybrid between humans and demonic beings. Not only that, but we know on the basis of Scripture that kinds reproduce after their own kinds. And therefore, the mistaken notion with respect to the sons of God being fallen angels is untenable, it's unsupportable, and has huge ramifications. In fact, as I've pointed out in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, drawn to its logical conclusion, it actually erodes epistemic warrant for the resurrection itself. So it has a long tail, as it were, in terms of distortion and ramifications biblically.
Okay. Can you tell me what portion of the Complete Bible Answer Book, because I just received it in the mail yesterday?
Yeah, it's an entry titled, "Did Demons Have Sexual Relations with Women?" in Genesis 6:4.
Okay. I will be sure and read that tonight. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian in Sunnyvale, Texas. Hi, Brian.
Hank, my question involves some close friends who had been Southern Baptists their entire lives and started 2 or 3 years ago to go to a Messianic congregation. We visited with them one time, and over the course of this time while they were there, I get wind that they're now saying that we're bound by the Jewish ceremonial law, and things have progressed or digressed or devolved to the point where now this family has openly denied Christ and converted to Judaism. And after I heard about this, within another week, my pastor, who I consulted about this, says he has a relative that he hasn't gone that far, he doesn't think, but he fears is going in that direction. And I'm just, my question, I'm so torn up about this, I'm very angry and sad about it, but my question is, do you know of any resource or any trend or pattern or anything that could explain this? Or are there groups of Messianic congregations that steer people in that direction? Or I'm at a loss.
Well, there are, and I mean, I think this is the ultimate problem. Certainly there are Orthodox Messianic Jewish congregations, but the problem is when you go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, and this is not just a modern-day problem. This is an age-old problem that you can trace right back to the biblical writers. The book of Hebrews, for example, deals with this problem explicitly, where people want to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And Hebrews is unmistakable in its denunciations of this kind of practice. It says that this is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So I think it's important for us to take the time to read the book of Hebrews, and then we see, wow, this was a problem in the early Christian church. It's not just a modern-day problem. The civil and ceremonial laws have been abrogated. I mean, Jesus Christ himself abrogated the civil and ceremonial laws. You think, for example, about shellfish. Eating shellfish from a biblical perspective is an abomination. It is simply false. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus, according to Scripture, declared all foods clean. So again, the problem is an age-old problem. It's been with us since the time that the biblical writers denounced this kind of perversion, to the modern epoch where you have Messianic Jewish congregations that want to go back to the type and shadow when the substance has come. I mean, why would we ever think about going back to temple, priest, and sacrifice when we are called now to Holy Communion. We're not called to sacrificing holy cows. We are called to Holy Communion. It's His broken body, shed blood for the complete remission of sins. And therefore, the Passover lamb has come, and we don't have to go back to the Passover practices.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm going to dive into to Hebrews this day. I'm so distressed about this. I don't know what to do. And I didn't know if there was, if you'd ever heard of such a thing before on any sort of any kind of organized level or.
Well, I have. And as I said, I've heard about it not only in the present, but also heard about it in the past. Hang on. If there's something we can do for you, I have written about this in various places as well. I've got a section in which I deal with this in principle in Has God Spoken, where I deal with the abomination of desolation. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.